Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. But before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. So today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Carrie Lee Miller, and she is with Overton Venture Capital. Welcome, Carrie.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Overton. How are you serving folks?
Sure. So Overton Venture Capital, we're an early stage venture capital fund that invests in ambitious consumer-focused entrepreneurs who are building exceptional next-generation brands and services. We're hyper-focused on consumer behavior and the fact that it has been changing. And within that, we invest in incredible founders. We play a hands-on role with our portfolio companies. And we target the early stage, ideally the seed extension round, which is a round that primarily is for businesses that are revenue producing. So they have already proven a product market fit and they are scaling in a meaningful way. So that's where we focus.
So now, can you educate our listeners a little bit about the different stages? So I know there's an angel stage and there's an early stage. Like, what was the rationale behind? First, let everybody know what the different stages are, and then the rationale to choose the stage you did choose.
Sure. Great question. So if you think about private investing or private markets investing in venture capital, when an entrepreneur has an idea or a vision, and they're looking to raise capital, the first group of individuals that they go to raise capital are normally friends and family, as well as angels. Angels are individuals who invest in either an idea or a product or service. Venture capital funds, they're invested all different levels. There's early stage, there's growth stage, and then it moves into private equity. Venture capital is actually an area of private equity, but private equity tends to be later stage companies that have well beyond product market fit. They have very strong revenue. Where we invest is in the seed and the Series A. And we prefer to invest in the seed extension, which is when they have already proven a product market fit. So their product or service is beyond idea and consumption. It's already in the market and they've already proven that there is a customer. So they already have sales. And we have decided specifically there because we are hands-on. Overton, we are two general partners, myself and my business partner, Michael Nogan. And we have a bench of 20 operating partners that are industry and functional experts. So when we invest, we don't just invest capital. We bring on an entire platform to help these companies scale. And at that inflection point, we say at that kind of late seed round pre-Series A, we really have an opportunity because these companies have already proven product market fit. We really can come in with a really bolstered check with expertise to help them get to that Series A and the later round financing. So that's why kind of we've decided to focus where we focus.
Now let's look at things through the lens of the entrepreneur. What's the advantage of partnering with a venture firm as opposed to just kind of battling and doing it themselves?
Sure. I mean, one benefit is obviously the cash infusion. So, you know, many entrepreneurs have scoped up and have a great idea, but they need capital in order to build the product and also market the product. So many who raise, they're raising for the intention that they need the cash. Now, those that don't need the cash, let's say an entrepreneur is already well capitalized for whatever reason, they really are looking for those strategic advisors and partners. So today, it's almost like a dating game where just as much as the investor, you know, has the capital to invest, the entrepreneur has flexibility sometimes to be very thoughtful on allowing or choosing which investors they let in because they have specific needs that they need. Not every entrepreneur is the same. The teams that we invest in could be anywhere from 3 to 10 employees. And as an entrepreneur is growing out their team, if the entrepreneur, for an example, their background is technology and they don't have any marketing or product background, they might want to partner with a venture capital fund that has an expertise in that space. So the entrepreneurs are specifically looking to Overton for an investment, but they're also looking at us because they want us at the table, because they know that we're going to be hands-on and they're going to help us scale. And we're going to help them scale in an area where they need help. And with early stage companies, a lot of times they don't necessarily need to hire a CFO yet or a CMO, a chief marketing officer, but they need that advisor to help them scale until they get to that point. So before we invest, as part of our due diligence process, we take a lot of time doing due diligence to really understand where we think Overton can add value. We actually will only invest if we know that we're going to add value either through our network of operating partners or through our backgrounds and our experience.
Now, are you industry agnostic? Are there certain areas that are a sweet spot for you and your team?
Sure. So we are industry agnostic. However, our focus is the global mega trends that are reshaping commerce. So I mentioned earlier, we have a laser pulse and view on the fact that consumer behavior is changing and it's constantly evolving. And in the last many years, it's been evolving mainly because of the advances in technology. But we also are focused on the macro trends within how a consumer purchases. And by the way, a consumer could be a business or an individual. A lot of times when funds or investors say consumer, you think of a kind of an individual or a brand, a retail brand. We say consumer, as a consumer is anyone who's purchasing. It's a business or it's an individual. And there's these trends that shape the way that consumers purchase. And we have identified 6 trends that we invest in. Those are health and wellness. Health and wellness being top of mind today on every kind of purchase decision. We're focused on the future of work, the war for talent, and the tools that manage it, which obviously with COVID has accelerated that focus for many others. We're focused on the sharing economy, so the shift from possession to experience, Uber, WeWork, et cetera. We're focused on smarter products and services, personalization, customization. We can have what we want, when we want it, at half the time and half the cost than ever before. And then the circular economy, so sustainability, consumption through reuse. So those, I'd say, are kind of our industry focus. And within each of that, it's our criterion for investing really is my background is actually talent strategy. My thesis before launching Overton was there are core correlators for success on who the jockey is and how they're building out their team. The make or break for early stage companies, yes, you have to have a product or service that fits the market and an opportunity, but you're really at the point of early stage investing in the jockey and the team. So our thesis within that, those industry breakouts that I just mentioned is, what is the track record of the entrepreneurs? Have they had proven successes? How are they building out their team from a culture perspective? And then back to the question that you asked previously is, not every entrepreneur is the same. Some entrepreneurs say, hey, I need $1 million. I only want $1 million. I have my idea of how I'm going to run this company and build this company. We are looking for those entrepreneurs who are fully saying, we want to collaborate. We're looking for those investors who are going to add and being advisors and be sounding boards for us. So that's number one, the team, the entrepreneurs. Number two is, have they already proven product market fit? So that means, is their product or service already in the marketplace? Ideally, they have sale at least $1 million in ARR, which is annual recurring revenue. we will invest earlier if we see month over month like strength in sales. We're also looking for a path to profitability. We're not looking for companies like an Uber or a WeWork where they bring in a lot of revenue, but their path to profitability might not be for 10 years. We're really looking for cash flowing and positive EBITDA within 2 years. So that second criterion for us is, have they already proven product market fit? Do they already have a strong sales growth? And do we see a path to profitability? And then the third criterion, which I've already spoken to a little bit, is can Overton add value? We might love the opportunity. It makes a lot of sense for the first two criterion that I mentioned. But unless we think that we can come to the table and add some value, it's probably not the right opportunity for us.
Now, let's talk a little bit about a VC firm being led by a woman. How has that been for you, your experience going through this? And because I would imagine not a lot of VC firms are woman led. Tell me about that and your path to it.
Sure. So I definitely have a lot of pride on being a woman GP. I think the data shows that 10% of venture capitalists are women. We know the funding that's going there, it's slim. And so being in this role as being a thought leader and a mentor to other women, is just incredible for me. The second thing is we're not an impact fund, meaning we are a for-profit business. We have limited partners who are investors, and our goal is to maximize the returns for our investors. However, we are extremely focused on mission-driven companies and impact and the role that diversity plays at each of our companies. And I'm very proud to say that half of our portfolio companies are women-led. And so we will invest in a white male-led company if they check all the boxes. But the best part of having a woman GP at the table as an advisor, as these companies are scaling, I know all the correlators for the success of companies. I know why diversity is important. I don't have to kind of like talk to you about it. We all know the data behind it. We all know the social impact on it. And so as an advisor and an investor to our portfolio companies, having a voice at the table as they're scaling and adding to their team to make sure that there's diversity of opinions and talent of backgrounds that are coming to these companies, ultimately also correlates to success. So for me personally, and just the mission of being a role model to other women who are aspiring to have their own funds or play a role in the venture capital space, and then be actually being hands-on and not only talking the talk, but walking the walk with each of our portfolio companies, and also proactively looking and sourcing to invest in diversity. So for me, I very much have a lot of pride behind being a woman GP.
Now, can you share maybe a story where being a woman allowed you to maybe see an opportunity that maybe a male wouldn't have noticed or not seen it as a true opportunity that to you was kind of like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense?
Sure. I mean, I think right now femtech and fem technology, female technology, is a hot area. And a couple years ago, very taboo. And if you think about traditional VC model, traditional males in the industry, white males in the industry, and thank goodness there's changes that are being made today in order to expand the diversity. But female technology was overlooked by my male counterpart. And one of our portfolio companies, a company called Joylux, which is for women that go through incontinence and to help them through post-menopause. And it's a condition that 50% of women have. And what I always say to my male counterparts or my male friends is, I'm not selling you this product for you, but it actually is for you because you're married and you have women in your life, and 50% of women go through incontinence. So Joylux is a company that we've invested in. I think, you know, we looked at it because I am a woman. A lot of their investors are other women who look at it. And our male counterpart didn't really know how to look at it. It was very taboo to look at anything kind of women tech related. And this team, you know, they have some of the founders from a company called ClearSonnet. They are proven entrepreneurs. This is a company that is changing the lives for women. And I think being a woman, I was exposed to it because of what you just asked. So those are some of the things. I will say that men now are catching on. It's a very hot space right now. But I'd still say there's just natural opportunities that have come up in my network because I am a woman and I'm involved in many women networks.
Now, part of the advantage of partnering with an Overton is that advice and this kind of built-in kind of board of advisors that I guess comes along for the ride. Any advice for the entrepreneurs out there that are dealing with COVID? What are some of the advice you're sharing with your portfolio companies?
Great, great question and very timely. So kind of the minute that COVID happened, you know, these are early stage companies that are already vulnerable. And so how do we support them as COVID was unfolding? And the way that we as advisors took a hands-on role was number one, PPP and the small SBA loans. How do we help them navigate to apply? And we prioritize to make sure that they have enough capital to weather this storm. And applying to SBA for the SBA loan for some of them was kind of urgent and needed because we also had to assume if they didn't sell anything for the next 6 months, could they survive? So once we got through that exercise, it was then looking at their operating expenses and how do we extend the burn? And the burn is the annual kind of expenses that a the monthly expenses that a company has. So how do we reduce expenses to extend their burn and their life so that they can operate in a healthy way? And then from there, and simultaneously, it was how do we make sure that the employees are okay? We have all felt something from COVID, emotionally, mentally, and now that companies maybe are furloughing some of their staff, businesses are having to pivot. I know that I feel like I'm working 24/7. One, because I'm not able to socialize and it's easy to throw oneself into work. But for the health and mental stability of these organizations, are the leaders okay? Are their employees okay? And we actually spent a lot of time talking with the staff and the leaders of our portfolio companies to make sure that they are okay. One example is in one of my portfolio companies, it's an incredible company, Stance. Customized men's shirts, three measurements, less than 2 weeks. But they're a customized men's shirt right now. And so right now, sales kind of was put on hold, although thank goodness it's picking up again and they're well capitalized, so they are more than fine. The blessing for them is they were in the process of moving their production facilities, and so they could really focus on the product right now. However, their employees are working 24/7. They have two women on their leadership team that they wanted to make sure were okay. And bi-weekly, I have a catch-up with these two leaders just to check in, to say hi, to take a pulse of, are you okay? Let's have a conversation. Let's catch up. And I'd say kind of my advice to the portfolio companies going through this is, you know, make sure your employees are okay, because that's really like the stickiness and the stability of your company. Also, several of our companies have had needed to pivot quickly. I'm really proud they were able to do it. Circling back to, yes, maybe they're working more than they did before, but because they're all aligned on what the mission and the vision is, they've been able to weather this thus far. So for us, the advice is making sure that, you know, you can extend the runway, the cash runway, really looking at the operating expenses to spend on what's needed. Be very, very front and center with employees. Right now, they're all virtual. So how can we maintain employee morale when we're not all together? And those are the things that we've been laser focused on. You know, as long as the companies have enough cash runway to get them at least to 2021, It really is maintaining the culture and the mission and vision and making sure that everyone's aligned on what the North Star is.
Now, how has the Atlanta community been for you, and why was it important for you to focus in on the Atlanta?
Yes, great question. So after I graduated from Emory undergrad, I was born and raised in Sandy Springs. I love Atlanta. My heart has been in Atlanta. However, in 2001, I actually moved to New York, and I've been in New York really for the last 18 years. And about 2 years ago, I started spending more time in Atlanta. My family is still here. I still have a network here. And the work-life balance in New York, looking for being in a more suburban environment, and my family here brought me back here. And as I started re-engaging in Atlanta, I started to see what an incredible venture community has and an incredible ecosystem that Atlanta has built in the venture space. But on top of that, I also saw all these like wonderful, beautiful things that were happening in Atlanta. Atlanta has always had a lot of diversity. We've always had an incredibly strong Black community, an incredibly strong gay community. However, now that I have come back to see the blossoming and the networking of these communities together and with the bolstering of art and entertainment that's here, and the early stage space, it has turned into just this. And I'd say it's not overlooked because people know Atlanta, but for me as an investor, my eyes lit up when I came back a couple years ago and said, there's no reason as an early stage investor that I wouldn't want to reemerge back in Atlanta based on the fact diversity was happening, based on the fact that all these industries are innovating here. And I've really just like enjoyed being back in this nucleus.
If somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the website?
Sure. It is www.overtonvc.com, which is OVERTONVC.com. And there is a contact section. And if any entrepreneur or other investor wants to have a conversation, I'm always looking to connect. The best part for me of being a venture capitalist is I have an open network, and if you enjoy connecting your network, and Lee, you've obviously done it in such a meaningful way through Business Radio X. But for me as a venture capitalist, it's the networking and connecting aspect that gives me the most gratitude. So if any of your audience, if I can be helpful to, definitely feel free to reach out.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much. That was Carrie Lee Miller, and she's with Overton Venture Capital, and the website again is overtonvc.com. Thank you so much, Carrie, for sharing your story.
Thank you, Lee, for having me today.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be doing this work without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.